I'm having so much fun sitting in the audience, I feel bad getting up here. Of the experience just highlighted, I was the senior nutritionist of a local WIC program just north of Boston for about 4.5 years, and I like to tell my students that it was my favorite job other than teaching them. So, the co-authors you see here, Elizabeth Medellinas-Katsaris, is a colleague of mine at Simmons, but she started her career with as a data analyst for the Massachusetts Department of Public Health. And this is actually a grant that she is the primary investigator on. Rachel Colchimiro is the Massachusetts WIC head of the state nutrition program for WIC. And I'm actually on this grant as the kind of advisor of how the data was really collected, what really goes on in the WIC clinics, because the years of data collection included my entire time at WIC. So I have the fun of being able to tell them what things really mean. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. I'm going to show you two pieces of our research. I'm going to go a little more quickly through the first part because this session is much more relevant to the second part. But two things we wanted to do. You've seen a lot of data today that suggests that WIC participants are not like non-WIC participants in their risk factors for not breastfeeding. So they do tend to be more ethnically diverse. They are lower socioeconomic status. They often are younger mothers with less education. One factor that hasn't been highlighted today that I will touch on later is smokers are much less likely to breastfeed. So the clustering of factors within the WIC population that is associated with less breastfeeding initiation and duration makes this a challenging population. So one thing we wanted to look at was, is WIC actually successful in its mission to promote breastfeeding? So I'm going to show you data on that, and I'm also going to show you some data that we worked on to look at what factors were associated with breastfeeding or not breastfeeding in terms of initiation and duration in the Massachusetts population. So we've touched on this today, that there is a modest association between earlier entry into WIC, well, we haven't talked about that, but that WIC participants are different, that they have different risk factors for not breastfeeding. But there's a little bit of research that says that WIC has been successful in promoting breastfeeding initiation. We wanted to see if that was true in the Massachusetts WIC population. We looked at data sets from 2001 to 2009. We only looked at single births, so we did not look at births of multiples. We only looked at cases where both the mother and the infant received WIC benefits at some point, because otherwise we wouldn't have the data to pair. We looked at the first prenatal visit for mom, or if she didn't enter until after she had had the baby, the first postpartum visit. And then we ended up having to stratify our analysis by moms who this was their first baby and moms who it wasn't. We found that to be a significant effect modifier in terms of their decision to breastfeed and then the duration of breastfeeding. So to see if WIC actually had a benefit, whether there was an impact of WIC on encouraging breastfeeding, we looked at prenatal entry and compared women who entered in their first trimester to women who entered in their third or postpartum time, women who entered in their second trimester to women who entered in their third or postpartum time. And what we were trying to get at was a dose-response relationship. So does more exposure to WIC result in higher breastfeeding initiation and longer duration? We also had many covariates that we adjusted for, but in the end we did separate our analysis by first or not first birth because it played such a role in modifying the impact. So here's a basic demographic slide of our women. So the average maternal age in the non-breastfeeders, in the first child, no previous live birth, was 23 years old versus 28.7 years in women who had had children in the past. You can see that other than that, there aren't a lot of differences, particularly in things like maternal education. Race, ethnicity differs a little bit, and definitely when you get into the breastfeeding information, you see that there is a huge difference between these two groups. So here's one slide that shows that women who entered in the first versus the third trimester were significantly more likely to initiate breastfeeding. The biggest impact, and we don't really know why, seems to be entering in the second trimester. It might just be that that's often a bubble time when people come into WIC. And then if they came in the first versus the second, they actually were less likely to breastfeed. With subsequent births, you can see a very clear dose-response relationship. If you came in the first trimester versus the third, the second trimester versus the third, and the first versus the second. Again, you can see in duration, the last was initiation. So in duration, you can see in first births, there's kind of this weird step pattern that mirrors the initiation results, and then this really nice step pattern if you look at the subsequent births. So this was not the woman's first child. Here we're looking at mean duration of weeks. So if women entered the darker purple bar is if they're entering the postpartum period versus if they entered WIC prenatally. Prenatally, they were significantly more likely to breastfeed for a longer duration. And then in terms of mean weeks, you'll see that women who entered in their first trimester, again for first births, we have that strange first and second trimester step up in the second trimester and then a nice block pattern. In the subsequent births, it goes right down the line, similar to the rest of our data. So conclusion from that was we conclude that WIC has an impact. We feel that some of the reason you're seeing differences in subsequent births is because women had had exposures, although we couldn't measure that, in earlier pregnancies to WIC education. Other things happening in that time at the WIC program in Massachusetts were we had adopted one of the grants that allowed us to expand peer counselor programs. So by the end of this period, all WIC peer counselors all WIC programs have peer counselors. And also breast pumps and much more support, a lot more coordination with the hospitals. Now on to predictors. We've been talking about race and socioeconomic status. We have a very strange thing happening here in Massachusetts, which is that our Black non-Hispanic women are far more likely to breastfeed. And that does not mirror national data, as you've been hearing. Our Hispanic women are also much more likely to breastfeed compared to white women. And our Asian women were less likely. And I should point out our Asian women were a very, very small sample. We had to ask a lot of questions about why our Black non-Hispanic women don't match what we see in national trends, but it did match up with other analyses that had been done of Massachusetts data. And it could be that we've been pointing out that within a cultural context, maybe in Massachusetts, some of the stigma associated has gone away. But it also has something to do, and this is where being in a local program for so many years benefits me. I know that we code our Haitian and Dominican women and as Black non-Hispanic Jamaicans. So they are culturally very, very different than some of the other women we've been talking about. And they do have strong cultural influences and role models in terms of breastfeeding. So we believe that there was a lot of play in that going on that impacted our results. In terms of Asian women, these are very difficult results to tease out. It was a small sample, but in Massachusetts WIC population, we have a very small pocket of Chinese women, and we are not too far from Chinatown here in Boston. We have a small group of Indian women who come on from India, and they would be coded as Asian. But the biggest population we have is actually Vietnamese. And culturally, Vietnamese women in Massachusetts do not breastfeed. I tried to recruit peer counselors for my program who were Vietnamese. I was trying to mirror our demographic population in my peer counselor program. And I actually could not find anyone in my program who was Vietnamese who had breastfed beyond a week or so. And when I tried to get to the bottom of why that was happening, the best I had was some qualitative data. And I was told by program assistants from various programs around the state that there is a cultural idea that once you get to the United States, the government provides free formula, that's what you're supposed to be doing, and therefore breastfeeding is not on their radar screen. So one of the interesting things you see is by 12 months duration, we are looking at rates of Asian women breastfeeding that are very similar to the Hispanic women. And we think what's shaking out there is we've found culturally that Chinese women who live and get their services around the Boston area, particularly in Chinatown, do tend to breastfeed and do tend to breastfeed for at least 1 year. So we think they're kind of skewing that end of the curve. Other factors we found were absolutely associated, much like we've been talking about, younger age, so being under 20 years old versus being between 20 to 34, and being over the age of 35 was absolutely associated with a significantly higher breastfeeding initiation. Maternal education, so having at least some high school and then absolutely some college was associated. Not surprisingly, being a smoker was associated with the lowest odds of initiating breastfeeding. And also, fairly well-established body mass index is strongly associated with decision to initiate breastfeeding. So here are moms. We looked at first-time moms a second ago. Here are the experienced moms, so they have other kids. You can see that the patterns are very similar, although you will see in our Black non-Hispanic that the odds are even higher. They are even more likely to initiate breastfeeding. And the Asian women in the sample were even less likely to initiate breastfeeding. So there you do see experience playing a role in the decisions that women are making. Other predictors in experienced moms were very similar. You just tend to see a little bit more extreme patterns, so that those weren't significantly different in terms of the trend, but they were in terms of the magnitude of the effect. So in summary, we felt that our data fairly clearly showed that participation in WIC for longer periods was associated with significantly increased likelihood of breastfeeding. That first-time moms actually in the sample were more likely to initiate breastfeeding to try it and see what they thought. And experienced moms had a longer mean duration. Those two things aren't particularly surprising. Race was a strong predictor in the likelihood of breastfeeding initiation and duration, but unlike all of the samples we've been talking about, in Massachusetts, what we defined as our Black population, Black non-Hispanic, was, we felt, very different from what has been talked about in the examples a little bit earlier in this session. Asian designation was associated with a lower likelihood, but as we discussed, that's being skewed in a lot of ways by the particular makeup in the Boston area of what was designated as Asian. And consistent with national samples, Hispanic women were more likely to breastfeed. Unfortunately, we were not able to tease out exclusive breastfeeding versus mixed breastfeeding. Anecdotally, we find that Hispanic women in Massachusetts tend to do more mixed methods. Other predictors are very consistent with other conversations we've had today and much research that's been done. But one thing we want to highlight is we do think WIC has an impact on improving breastfeeding rates, and there is absolutely a role for it. But we do need to be aware that there are other predictors that are highly prevalent in that particular population. Some acknowledgments, and that is me. Thank you.
We have time for a question. Melissa?
So did you say that you coded the Dominicans as non-Hispanic?
I misspoke. Dominicans were coded as Hispanic. Jamaicans were coded as non-Hispanic. Yeah. Thank you for helping me clarify that.
We do have time for one more quick question.
Did you separate African American from refugees?
We
had some different experiences working with first-time mothers and the refugees versus.
So did we separate African Americans, non-Hispanic, Black from refugees? No, we did not, and that is very important because actually Massachusetts experienced an influx of Somalian refugees at that time, and it was their tendency to breastfeed and breastfeed exclusively.